Good morning. While we work out a few things, I want to welcome you guys. You know, I just want to share a scripture before I begin. Just to let you know, I had a talk with my sister, and she's part of the Baltimore Church. So as you all know, the Baltimore Bridge went down, right? So I'm talking to her. I'm so sorry to hear. I said, how are you going to get to service? And she explained, yeah, you know, well, that 20 minutes that I did is going to turn into 30 more minutes. So it's a total of 50 minutes. I said, oh, man. I said, I got it. So me, I'm being sentimental about it. I said, well, you know what? You always have the Zoom option. She said, Reggie, why are you telling me that? I said, I'm just trying to help you. She said, if you want to help me stretch, not shrink back. You know, when I heard her say that, it was a tingeing feeling. I said, you need to be grateful for me. It was because of me you got in the water. Really, it wasn't. It was God. But I was letting her know. But you know, when she said that to me, it reminded me of this scripture. In Hebrews 10, starting in verse 39, it says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. You know, and it's with that, I want to welcome you to the Queens region of the New York City Church of Christ. Come on. Guys, I want you to get excited this morning, because what you're going to hear can change your life. And it's not because Reggie's talking. It's because the word of God is going to be preached. Amen? So let me work out some technical difficulties real quick. And we'll begin, but let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for another glorious morning, another time to praise you, to worship you. Be with us, God, as we get into your word. Move me out the way and allow you to speak through me. God, I pray for the men and women in the room that we can leave changed. Changed because our heart has the right posture of humility, of courage, and self-assessment. We thank you so much. Thank you for answering our prayers, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Bear me one second. I wanted to kind of walk around, so I wanted to see if is it working? It's working now, right? You can hear me? All right, good. Now, be prepared. And this is something, and I love the Psalm 119 series, because what's so amazing about the Psalm 119 series, I was going over and over and over in it. And I'm like, man, I see what this guy is saying, but I'm trying to figure out, why is he saying this? And I realized something. He was so connected to his maker. He realized where to go through, and you see as we'll go through this, where to go through when he's in trouble. Okay? So in I'm not in Psalms yet. Be prepared. And I'm going to stop a second. Be prepared. You know, it's getting warm now. How many of you barbecue or grill? Right? Let me ask you a question. If you're grilling or barbecuing, do you just throw a slab of meat on the grill?
No.
You got to prep the meat, right? You got to prep. You put your salt. You put your pepper. You season the meat. So once it's seasoned and you put it on the grill and your visitors are around, you'll get a great review, right? So it can taste well. Listen, it's like that with the word of God. You got to receive it, but you got to put the right seasoning on it. You got to prep it, right? You got to be prepared. You see, two people can hear the same exact thing and get a different perspective. And the problem is, sometimes that person doesn't, guess what? They're not open to receive it the right way. I want to prepare you, okay? So as soon as it jumps on. Here we go. You know, I always used to get on Sean sometimes. I'm like, what's going on with Sean up here? And now look at me, right? You see that? You see that? You see how God works? I'm like, Sean, what are you talking about, technical demons? Yeah, all right. Amen. God works.
You see, God's word is flawless, and we're going to be in Proverbs 30, verse 5, and I want to prep you. It says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And as I get into this, I want you guys to understand what God's word is, because in order for you to receive it, you got to understand what it can do for your life. And it's a refuge. I'm going to go through another scripture for you. In Jeremiah 17:7, verse 8, it says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This is a person that trusts in God. Never fail to bear fruit. Why? Because your trust and your hope is in him. Yeah. Let's move forward real quick here. Matthew 13:23, right? This is all about the preparation. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times over that which was sown. I want to hang out here for a moment. I want to camp out. You see, the word of God is powerful. It pretty much for all of us here, it has changed our lives. Amen. And it changed our life because we had the right posture about it. Yeah. Right? We had the humility. We was eager because we saw where our life is at. Yeah. But sometimes if you look through these scriptures, sometimes you look at the soil, sometimes the seed doesn't always fall on a good soil. Our heart may not be in the right place. Yeah. If you go through Matthew 13 and you look at different soils, right? You got the hard soil, the soil where weeds were in. Guess what? Nothing can grow.
That's right.
I just want to make sure this morning that we can position our soil and have the right posture so when the word comes in, we can receive it. Amen? You know, in my Bible talk, we've been reading this book. It's called The Garden Within. And it is really amazing because it talks just about that. About the heart and relating it to the soil. And before we move on, I want to share something. I had a meeting one day, and I was going to this meeting. So I go to Dunkin' Donuts, get some coffee. I jump in the car. My wife was with me. And I put my cell phone on top of the car. So I get on the highway, and I'm driving. And I'm driving. I'm like, okay. I see on the screen, I see that my cell phone is right there. I see the bars. But I'm like, where's my phone? I can't find it. Where's the phone? I'm driving, and then all of a sudden, I hear something scratch up through. And then I look back in the rearview mirror, and there goes the cell phone right on the highway. Bam! Smash on the floor. You see, the cell phone was in the vicinity, but it wasn't in the car. You see, the point is, I'm not going to tell you what I said when that happened. I'm not going to say it. That's a total other story. I'm not going to go down that road. I had to work my heart out for a while. That's a separate conversation. But what I want to point out, it was in the vicinity, but it wasn't in the car. You see, the word of God could be in the vicinity, but if it doesn't get into your heart, it means nothing. You got to make sure you're not just in the vicinity. You got to be open to receive it. Amen? So let's be prepared this morning. Who's prepared?
Yeah.
So then tell your neighbor you're prepared. Tell him you're prepared. Now, that's not loud enough. Tell him you're prepared. I don't know. I just wanted to say that. And we got to look forward. Look forward is very important. Because sometimes what happens is we could be so trapped up in the past that we forget what's in front of us. I know I have done that. Okay, next scripture. In Philippians 3, starting in verse 12 to 14, it says, this is Paul, he's the writer here, and he's talking to him. He says, now that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's look forward. Right? And as I'm looking at this, I'm going to go through. It says, for I have often, this is in Philippians 3, starting in verse 18. It says, for as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many lives as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And as I look at this in Paul's writing, and he's talking about moving forward, he tells the people, like, I remember my old way of life, but I don't look towards that. I'm looking forward, heavenward. I'm looking towards Jesus. I'm looking to change. And towards the end of this, he talks about being our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Think about that, Jesus' glorious body. You know, another point I want to make here, sometimes looking back can be dangerous. Yeah. Right? Your experience, something that you experience, may prevent you from moving forward. We are doing a project at my house, and as part of the project, we needed an architect. So we call this architect in. He comes in. Well, first we got the contractor. So the contractor comes. He's looking at the work. He said, you guys are going to need an architect. So we go out and we get the architect. He comes in, and, you know, my wife is home at the time, and he tells her, you know what? I don't think we can do it. It looks too tough. I don't think we can do it. It's going to cost too much. Right? So I'm like, all right. So she relays the message to me. I'm like, okay. I said, let me call him back. So I called him back, and he says, yeah, we'll get back to you. We'll work it out. And I'm like, wow, okay. But, you know, I realized something. I said, no, I'm not going to give up there. We went and got another architect. Okay. This architect comes in. We share our vision with him, what we want to do, where we're going to go. He pauses for a moment and says, can I come back tomorrow and do a bunch of measurements and just we'll go from there? So he comes back the next day. Wow. He does his measurements. Mm. And he says, it's a go. And the point I'm making, one of the architects was looking from the point of his experience. The other architect was looking from a point from his imagination and his faith. See, he wasn't looking to create. He wanted to continue to do what he was systematically doing. And sometimes when we look at the scriptures, we can't always just look at it and say, okay, this is how it's done. Right. You got to look from a place of creativity, right, and imagination, right, and faith. So what I did after this happened, I was so happy. I was like, yeah, this is good. I got it. I said, you know what? I'm going to invite him back. Guys, I was being prideful. I'm being honest. I said, I want to show you. Don't you ever doubt us. Don't you ever tell me there's nothing I can't do. Invited him back. I said, yeah, we have the plan. Now you tell me, what's the quote? What's the price? Just tell me what the price is. So he goes through it. And let me tell you something. When somebody can't see the truth, don't make every excuse not to believe it. Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, but this, but that, but this. And I was just listening, But I realized something. His experience still clouded his vision. Wow. He couldn't see through. Question, let's ask ourselves, has our experience clouded our vision? I know mine has sometimes. My experience with people, right? My experience with my wife, right? Nah, in a good way. Don't take it. But what has your experience taught you? Sometimes you can hold on to the experience, but the experience cannot be the end all and the be all. That's right. Experience could just be that point, okay, that didn't work. You got to catapult and take it a step further. That's right. Can you imagine if we would have gave up and said, you know what, he's right? No, you're not right. You just don't have imagination and faith. Right. Do we have imagination and faith today?
Yeah.
Do we have it in the room? So let me ask you a question. What is something, there's something, somebody in your seat right now, of course it's yourself, something that God wants to do with you. Take it from your imagination and faith. What is that? You don't have, don't shout it out. I know y'all want to. But what I'm realizing over, you know, I try not to look how long I've been a Christian. Let me tell you why. Because sometimes, oh, I've been a Christian 30 years and all that. You know why? Because in my heart, I start to set myself up like, you know what? I'm knowledgeable. I'm wise. I've been around for, I read my Bible every day. No, You see, that's why God said, Jesus said, be like children. Because you know what, kids have a childlike heart. You can't really tell a kid that they can't do anything because their imagination is so wild. We gotta let our imagination from Jesus run wild again. Maybe some of you have, but you know, but those that have not let their imagination run wild for Jesus, let it run wild. There's still so much God wants to do with us. Amen? So let's look forward. How many of us want to look forward? I know I'm going to look forward. I'm going to look forward. That's it. That's what it's about. We have to look forward. I know you're like, why did Reggie pause? I don't know. I just felt like it. But, you know, I was thinking about... But, you know, I really get excited because, you know, when you love something, you know, you'll do anything for it. And, you know, I know a lot of us, we love the people, we love the church. And Jesus loves us so much more. He actually died for us. And that's why we're here today. And that's why, guess what? We do what we do. Now, the question is, do you know who to turn to? You see, for me today, I want to be brief. I want you to leave with something that can help you change. Remember I said earlier, if you hear the right way today, if you have your heart open today, guess what? It will change your life. And again, I said it's not because Reggie's speaking, it's because it's the Word of God. And I'll ask you a question. Do you know who to turn to? Before I get into the scripture, I want to share something. When I was a kid, I was a troublemaker. And I'll tell you the truth. What I used to do, man, I was bad. And I'm going to tell you something. When I was like about 9 years old, there was these big, a group of guys. They were bigger than me. They were older than me. They lived around the corner. And I said to myself, I want to set this up. I just wanted to do some mischievous. So I set it up. I knew what time my dad came home, and I knew what time the kids would play on the block. So I would walk around the corner, make my way around the corner. They'll be bouncing a ball, slap the ball out of their hand. Boom. They're like, hey, why'd you do that? And push me. I said, I'll be right back. Went around the corner. I said, Dad, guess what? This kid around the corner just pushed me. Took my dad to the trouble, walked over. Dad, that's him. My dad stepped in and said, if you ever put your hand on my son again, he went off. I'm not going to say anymore. But it was a constant thing. I would always, then, here's the funny part. Afterwards, I would walk around the corner with my head high, confident, slapping balls at everybody's hand, hitting everybody in the back of the head. What? Nobody bothered me because I knew who to turn to. He had my back. My father had my back. He took care of me. You see, as I got older, I'm still starting trouble. Still causing problems, but I know who to turn to. I turn to God. See, this is what I love about the psalmist here. I'm going to read this. It says, look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not set out your decrees. Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precept. Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. You know, when I read this scripture, I'm looking at a man, woman, I don't know, but he knew who to turn to. He turned to God through everything, whether it was his suffering, whether he kept saying over and over, preserve my life. That was important. He said, I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your words. So he's looking at it and he's saying, look, I see what they do, but look at what I do. I want to hold your words in front of me. I love, I adore your words. And he reminds God, Lord, in accordance with your love, all your words are true. All your words, all your laws, all your righteous laws are eternal. He was captivated by God. He loved God. And I often look at this, I'm like, well, what am I getting out of this? I see what his word says, but it's not necessarily his words, it's his why. He knew who to turn to. And sometimes, like me, I say, I know who to turn to, but like when my cell phone flew off the roof of that car, man, I turned to my words. I was angry, I was pounding the steering wheel. I'm not even gonna tell you what I was saying. But you see, you gotta know who to turn to. The biggest thing with the psalmist is he knew who to turn to. I wanna share this. In Proverbs 24:10, it says, the NIV version says, all right, it's the Message version. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. I'm going to repeat it again. It says, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. You know, when I looked at that, I was like, man, that's kind of rough. I mean, that's it? How many times we've been in a crisis and we fell short? Yeah. And I love the way the Proverbs said it. It's not that, okay, it's a sober assessment. Yeah. It allows you to see where you at and where you can get to. Give yourself an assessment. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, and what does a crisis represent? It represents different things for a lot of us. It just may mean an argument. It may mean not forgiving somebody you need to forgive. It may mean, hey, you didn't work something out in your marriage. It may mean, hey, you know what? When you hit on in the world by a man or a woman, how you respond to it, all these things are crisis.
That's right.
But it says if you fall to pieces, when that happens, there wasn't much to you in the first place.
Wow.
You see, I take that personal. I take that personal. I am somebody. I'm a man of God. You're a woman of God, whatever it is. You gotta take the words personal and strengthen and reinforce your faith as we reinforce each other's faith. Amen. Oh, I want to share this. Before I do this, you see, Jesus, before he went to the cross, you gotta remember something about Jesus. Jesus was an absolute and resurrected and ready to go. He had to go down and pray 3 times. You see, when Jesus Christ came, he was somebody. He died for us. He resurrected on the 3rd day. And that's why we're here preaching about him. And I want to share something with you. This is my sister. Right? The reason why I put that picture up, because she sent this to me a couple of months ago. And she said, you know what? Thank you for helping me to know who Jesus is. And I always ask her, why? How did I help you? She says, no, it's when you were in trouble, I saw how you responded. And I wanted to respond the same way with Jesus in prayer. You see behind that? That little boy right there? That's my nephew. What he is seeing is how she responds in trouble. That's what it is. Jesus showed up. If anything you want to leave today, know how to respond when you're in trouble. When crisis hits, because it will happen right here. Amen? Come on. All right? So thank you guys, but at this time, does everybody have a communion cup? The ushers will come around. As they come around, just remember, be prepared, right? Look forward and know who to turn to. Thank you. All right, amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your words that penetrate our heart. We thank you for the great examples in the Bible. We thank you for the psalmist. But most importantly, we thank you for Jesus, that when crisis hit, he got on his knees and prayed. And he went to the cross, died, and was resurrected all for us. We thank you for his body. We thank you for his brokenness. And I pray as we take the communion this morning, it helps us to live changed lives. That our hearts can have that right posture. We don't look at the amount of time we spent. We look at the quality of time we spent this morning. And that it can move our hearts to change forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.